Are you still looking for that one iodine that you can really trust? A medical doctor-endorsed product that is backed by honest research and true integrative science? Then search no further. Go to NutraMedical.com for Dr. Bill Deagle's Nutriodine, proven time and time again to be the very best iodine available for you. Nutriodine is the only Tesla-activated monatomic plasma iodine in the world. It optimizes mitochondrial function and generation of new mitochondria, from totally neutralizing the venom from a desert recluse spider bite in Southern California to eliminating malaria parasites reported by medical missionaries in Central India. Dr. Bill's Nutriodine is simply the most powerful healing formula there is. Nutriodine clears the body of all known pathogens, restores it to an alkaline state, and even promotes stem cell regeneration. Order Dr. Bill's Nutriodine today at 888-212-8871 or visit us online at NutriMedical.com.
Welcome back to the NutriMedical Report. We have Dr. Bob Thiel here. Last week we had Sasha Alexander-Veljic, and lots of events happening over the Christmas holidays, which of course is not the birth date of Jesus, but Dr. Bob will enlighten us on lots of things going on in our world and why we're being manipulated on the left and right toward an ultimate time of birth pangs. Dr. Bob, what do you want to talk about first?
Okay, well, you talked about this being a season where various ones have different holidays, biblical and otherwise. Anyway, it turns out that right now we're in a Jewish holiday called Hanukkah.
Right.
And Hanukkah ends at sunset Monday, the 10th of December, so pretty shortly between now and then. It's been going on since, I think, the 4th. Anyway, why is that relevant? Why does anybody care? Well, I don't observe Hanukkah, although I will tell you that in the New Testament, it looked like Jesus did come to a Hanukkah celebration. But anyway, the reason I'm bringing this up is, I don't know if anybody else has tried to cover this on your show, but did you know that the Sanhedrin intends to reenact a daily sacrifice?
Yes.
Monday.
They're starting the sacrifice Monday?
Yes, this Monday.
You've got to be kidding.
Oh, no.
Are you talking about an animal sacrifice?
Well, they don't know. And this is where it's really, really strange. Okay, I looked at a bunch of different sources on this. And basically, a week or two ago, the Sanhedrin invited 70 nations around the world for a Hanukkah dedication of the altar for the third temple, is what they're
called. Whoa.
Okay. And
I'm good thing I'm sitting down so I don't fall down.
Okay, well, anyway, let me tell you a couple of things. Okay,
yeah.
Hanukkah, which is called the Festival of Lights, it commemorates the rededication of the second temple in Jerusalem. Okay, that's according to Jewish tradition. And
you're talking about the temple of Zerubbabel built 500 years before Jesus, right?
Right, the one that was built before then, right. So anyway, they rededicated it, and so they got this Hanukkah celebration. Anyway, so apparently the Sanhedrin decided it would be a great idea to basically trot out their altar that they've got, and to show that they've got a high priest, and to show they've got the implements, and all this stuff. So they've gone around, and they've gotten permission to do a lot of this stuff. As a matter of fact, they actually got permission for almost everything. Okay, I'll read you something from one
news. Whoa. Now, I heard one thing that's interesting I want to throw in. That I heard that they, by rabbinic law, and this is from Zafed and the Rabbinic Council, which is a town north of the Sea of Gennesaret, where the council actually resides, the actual Sanhedrin, that by rabbinic law, they're not allowed to sanctify the temple except on Sukkot. So whatever sacrifice you do, you can't sanctify the temple mount or the tabernacle, if they have a tabernacle of Moses, which you can put up with just a bunch of, you know, gold rings and sea cow skins and some tents. They could do this overnight. But they're not supposed to do it except on Sukkot. So I don't know whatever sacrifice they're doing is maybe a dry run. But it means they're pretty close. They don't need a big stone. They don't need to build a physical solid temple. They can put a tabernacle up and start the sacrifice. And it doesn't have to be on the Temple Mount. It can be below the eastern gate where the springs of Gihon are, where the actual temple probably resided. because like Jesus' prophecy that no stone would be on top of another, the wall they call the Wailing Wall indicates there was stones on top of another because it was the Temple of Antonius. It is not the residue of the ancient temple. The temple was completely destroyed, even by non-Jewish historians proved that the temple was so destroyed they wouldn't even believe a building ever existed there by Roman historians, right?
Yes, the absolute total destruction of that, which happened in 70 AD. And they
right, so, the, so there's no residue, there's no wall or anything left.
Oh, no.
And it had to be where there was actually walls of libation, which is the walls, the springs of Gihon, which are still under rabbinic control by the Jews. It would blow the Eastern Gate, which is where the actual springs and the spring comes up still today. So they had the total control of the territory, and it's not on the temple and that wall, the wall of the Temple of Antonius where they had Roman troops at the time of Jesus. It's not there.
Yeah, well, what happened with that, and so let's step back since you brought up some of those things for just a moment. What
right.
happened was General Titus is coming over here, and he does not want to destroy the temple. Okay, they're not happy with the Jews. They're not happy with rebellion, all right? But he does not want to destroy the temple. Well, apparently some people were in the temple, and they started taking shots at the Romans, all right?
Right.
With arrows and such. And that was it for Titus. He said, forget it, okay? And he said, okay, if that's the way they're going to be, we're going to just wipe them all out. And so they got rid of everything. They plotted all after they got rid of the stuff. Everything was knocked down. Yeah, that wall, which they call the Wailing Wall, was not part of the temple. Now, there's
no
an argument whether how close the temple was to that or not. There's a bunch of people arguing about that. But as far as this particular consecration,
right.
they haven't made an announcement exactly where it's going to be.
Right.
Now, the temple itself, not the temple, the altar itself is supposed to be about 5 foot tall, according to this one source. I thought when I saw it before, it was taller than that, but anyway, supposed to be that. And it's made out of what they call unhewn stones, okay, at least the one that I saw from Temple Institute. Now, this one they're using may not be that. And what they're basically saying is that the Muslims are not going to tolerate this ceremony if they can see it from the Al-Aqsa Mosque, which is on what is called the Temple Mount. And
right.
actually, this article is kind of interesting. It says the alleged Temple Mount, the one I'm looking at. So like you and I, we have some severe doubts about where the actual temple was. And,
right,
and,
yeah.
And
the, well, actually, the
stuff about the Gihon and all that kind of
right.
stuff.
Right, well, of course, the Al-Aqsa Mosque, which is used to be the Dome of the Rock, basically is built where the Church of St. Catherine was. So it was a Christian church taken over by the Muslims and converted to a mosque. And there's a stone in there, which is a stone where supposedly, at least the Muslims believe and the Jews believe, was the place where Abraham was supposed to sacrifice Isaac and sacrifice a bull that was given by God. And in fact, there's a saying in Arabic around it that says that the Lord God did not have a son, and actually there's a blasphemy against Jesus written in Arabic by the Muslims, but he had three daughters. And in fact, if you actually read the Quran, they believe in three goddesses that are under Allah, but no son. And in fact, that's one of the statements in the Quran that makes it very clear. It's not of the same faith or background as Abraham and the Abrahamic faith, and it's not the same as Judeo-Christianity, even though the Muslims will lie and say it is. That, in fact, the Quran says there's three goddesses that are there, but no son.
Well, when Islam first started out, Islam claimed that the Old Testament and the New Testament, what we call the Old Testament and New Testament, were all legitimate, and that Jews and Christians were the people of the book. Well, what happened was, after Islam started to become more prevalent, Jews and Christians and others started to make comments about Islam and say, "Hey, this isn't right." So then they've decided, the Muslims basically have decided that the New Testament and Old Testament have been corrupted, that the Jews intentionally changed things, that Ishmael was supposed to be the one, not Isaac, and that Jesus was not sacrificed or he was not resurrected, and they threw all this stuff out, so you don't even know what part of the book they supposedly believe. But anyway,
well, they preach that Jesus, if he comes back, well, this is something people don't know about the Quran.
Well,
we have
coming back.
They actually, what the Muslims preach is, if he returns, he returns as a Muslim to slay those who won't submit to Islam. They actually preach in Islam that when Jesus returns, he's here to slay those that won't submit to Islam and Sharia law. Okay.
So anyway, getting back to the Sanhedrin, Okay. The one question is, people wonder, are they going to offer an animal sacrifice? Well, they're definitely planning on doing a grain offerings and a wine libation. Okay. Whether or not they're going to actually sacrifice a lamb or act like they're, we don't really know. Because this group really would like to do that kind of sacrifice, they certainly want to do it. Anyway, they went out, the Sanhedrin went out, from what I've read, and they got all the required permits from all the government agencies in charge of slaughtering animals.
Right.
Except they didn't get it yet from the municipality of Jerusalem, which means if they don't get it tomorrow, because they won't do it on Sabbath, obviously, they won't get it on Sabbath. I don't know if they can get it on Sunday or in time.
Yeah, because tomorrow in Israel is Sabbath, right? Because it's the day ahead.
Right.
Right. Wow. I mean, this is, you can feel the sulfurous breath of Lucifer and Satan's dragon on your neck now, can't you?
Well, we see things getting closer to the end. We'll talk about it as we come back. This is great.
Amazing revelations. I didn't know this. This is cool.
Hi, I'm Dr. Bill Deagle, MD, AAEM-ACAM-A4M, of NutraMedical.com, and a consultant providing email advice free on advanced protocols for your optimized wellness and advanced technologies to heal and regenerate you. You can contact us at NutraMedical.com, that's NutriMedical.com, or 888-212-8871. You get free email starter protocols of our top medical-grade nutraceuticals, initial testing, and recommendations for your own primary doctor to do, as well as recommendations to give you an idea of a consultation and a full protocol to try to help you regenerate your tissues, heal naturally without the use of toxic polypharmacy. I can send test kits to you as well anywhere in the world and provide you recommendations to referral of specialty clinics worldwide. So contact me, Dr. Bill Deagle, at NutriMedical.com. That's NutriMedical.com or 888-212-8871.
Too far on. My wife mentioned on the break that some people are getting confused about us launching our stream. No, it's our NutraMedical. We're going to put our stream app, we actually listen, at NutraMedical. You can listen at NutraMedical. We're probably not going to post over Clay and Iron and Eagle Network, but they'll have the archives over there. But the app will be at NutraMedical. So when you want to visit, you hit NutraMedical, you'll see the app sitting right there, boom. All of our shows and all our co-broadcasters, you can link directly there. You'll be able to replay it. You know, if you start 20 minutes later, you can rewind it. We're also still going to have all our shows sent over to, simultaneously over to Genesis Network. We're sent over to Red State Talk Network and Revolution Radio and many other AM FM stations because we're syndicating all over the world. Plus, we'll be on Alexa, iTunes, TuneIn, Google Plus, and iCloud, etc. So, don't get confused. There's not a new website. It's just going to be an app sitting on NutraMedical on our main page of NutraMedical.com. Period. That's all simple. And we're going to keep it simple enough. You click it, you can hear it. And if you want to go to the archives, you go to Deagle Network and you can see the subpages for all the co-hosts, including, Dr. Bob Teal and Sasha or Alexander Veljic in Serbia. So they'll have all their information there. The only thing we're going to do is we're going to ask them to send us the information for the subtopics of every one of their shows. They'll be doing shows like us here on NutraMedical, but also their own independent shows. And you can actually search and find all the subtopics, and you can pull an audio clip you want. It's all free. You don't have to pay a cent in order to get access to all this great information. So, Dr. Bob, you're shocking the heck out of me. So they're going to do something here possibly Monday.
Right. Yeah, they're right.
Wow.
They've gotten the permits to do an animal sacrifice, but they haven't gotten it from the municipality of Jerusalem itself.
Wow.
And if they don't get that permission, it's likely that what they'll do is they'll roast the meat that they get from a regular processing plant. But we're not quite sure how they're going to do all of this and exactly where it's going to be. But what we do know is that, one, they've been getting ready to do this for quite some time.
Right.
And, you know, the Sanhedrin came up with the Temple Institute with them as well, because one of the guys who founded the Temple Institute is also one of the Sanhedrin guys. Anyway.
Right.
They've had this altar for about 9 years. 9-10 years, okay? They've got that, and they haven't done anything with it. Now, when they first had it, they didn't have a high priest, and they've got one of those. They announced this guy about 2 years ago, I think they announced him, and they've got a new training school where they train people to be Levitical priests. And they've got most of the implements. And while they've been talking about this for some time, the reality is, let me just read from a news article.
Right.
This morning, so today. The occasion marks some of the first widely public evidence that the temple project is well underway. Okay, so the reality is that they're going to do this. Now, why does this matter? Well, I'll tell you one thing. You've got all these naysayers who don't believe the Bible, all right? And they say things that you can't believe the Bible, blah, 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 blah. Well, I'm going to go through, if you'll let me, three different scriptures and
right.
explain how that's relevant to any of this stuff.
Right.
Okay, they're all from the book of Daniel. I'm going to read from the New King James Version of the Bible because it sounds more like American English.
Right.
Okay. Anyway, Daniel 9:27 talks about a covenant being confirmed for 1 week. In the midst of the week, he'll cause the sacrifice and oblation to cease, and for the overspreading abomination, he'll make it desolate, etc. Well, okay, so here's something about sacrifices ceasing. So now you go to Daniel chapter 11, verse 31. We hear about this king of the north guy. He says he's going to have arms. He's going to take away the daily sacrifice and put there the abomination it makes desolate. Okay, so that's Daniel 11:31. Then Daniel 12:11, it says, from the time the daily sacrifice is taken away and the abomination is set up, there should be 1,290 days. That's Daniel 12, verse 11. So, okay, so what? Well, the so what is, okay, for the sacrifices to stop, they got to start.
Right.
Okay? And they haven't started in a long time. As a matter of fact, how long? Somewhere around August 30th of 70 A.D., plus or minus. Okay? They can't do the daily sacrifice. They haven't been doing daily sacrifices. Right? Now,
right.
if you're a Jew who has not accepted Jesus, and you read the Hebrew Scriptures, which we call the Old Testament,
right.
you say, wait a second. We're supposed to sacrifice this animal then, blah, 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 blah. Okay? And I don't
right.
mean to sound disrespectful, okay? I'm just saying you read all this, and you've got to be thinking if you're a Jew who doesn't accept Jesus, aren't we supposed to kind of do this stuff? Well, if you don't accept Jesus, you do. Now, let me interject here for a moment. The fact that Daniel 9, 25 and 26 says that the Messiah is going to come and then the temple is going to get destroyed should give them a clue, by the way, that Jesus already came. Okay, but
right.
they ignore that part. And so, if you're a Jew, you say, wait, we haven't had sacrifices since the temple was destroyed, and what should we do? Now, a lot of them do is they tell themselves something that's not really factual. They tell themselves, okay, we don't have a temple, we can't sacrifice, so God's fine with that. Well, God's only fine with it because he sent his son Jesus who died for our sins. Ignoring that, if you're a Jew and you believe the Old Testament, you've got to say, wait a second, they had animal sacrifices before there was a temple. And then, after the first temple was destroyed, before the second temple was rebuilt, and you can read about this in the book of Ezra, in the Old Testament,
right.
Ezra chapter
right.
3, verse 6. Let me just read this. From the first day of the seventh month began they to offer burnt offerings unto the Lord, but the foundation of the temple of the Lord, or Yahweh, was not yet laid.
Okay. Right.
So, what's this telling us? This is telling us that after the first temple, and before there was a second temple, they went out and they were sacrificing. And so the reality is, if you're a Jew and you believe that, you know, you've got to do what's in the Torah and all of, and including the sacrifices, well, then you've got an issue because you don't really have an excuse, okay? Because, you know, they sacrificed before there was a temple, they sacrificed after there's a temple in between. So there really isn't any excuse. Now, of course, it's one thing for a Christian like myself to read this stuff and say, okay, well, I think this is what the Jews should be able to do this now. Well, but do the Jews believe that? Well, certainly that they do. Now, we talked
right.
about the fact the Sanhedrin is going to do a reenactment Monday, December 10th.
Right.
Back in 2008, I actually contacted the newly reconstituted Sanhedrin, and I asked
right.
them. I said, I think you can do animal sacrifices without a temple. Is that true? And they said, yes. And they said that the Torah says that they can do it, and I'm thinking, okay. They're actually from the Mishnah Torah, which is not really the Bible. But I also think that they got that from the book Ezra, because the book Ezra clearly says that when there was no temple, after the temple had been destroyed, before they built a new one, it was okay for them to sacrifice. So they know that, in theory, they can do that. Now, I mentioned this on your show before as well. Our sons Michael and Brian went to Israel, I think in September of 2013, I think is when they were there.
Right.
And our son Michael went over and he asked the people at the Temple Institute if they needed a temple to sacrifice in. Well, I hear the music and I'll explain, I guess we got back from another break.
Yeah.
What they were told, and I went a month later and what they told me.
Wow, I want to hear that when we come back. Amazing information. It means that we're really close to the final revelation of the abomination that desolates, right?
Are you still looking for that one iodine that you can really trust? A medical doctor-endorsed product that is backed by honest research and true integrative science? Then search no further. Go to NutraMedical.com for Dr. Bill Deagle's Nutriodine, proven time and time again to be the very best iodine available for you. Nutriodine is the only Tesla-activated monatomic plasma iodine in the world. It optimizes mitochondrial function and generation of new mitochondria from totally neutralizing the venom from a desert recluse spider bite in Southern California to eliminating malaria parasites reported by medical missionaries in Central India. Dr. Bill's Nutriodine is simply the most powerful healing formula there is. Nutriodine clears the body of all known pathogens, restores it to an alkaline state, and even promotes stem cell regeneration. Order Dr. Bill's Nutriodine today at 888-212-8871 or visit us online at NutriMedical.com.
Finish your story. This is amazing. So your two sons went there. They had comments, and a month later you got more information. Let's repeat this, and please continue.
All right. So back in September 2013, our sons, Michael and Brian, went over to Jerusalem. And one of the things that our oldest son, Michael, did is he went over and he asked somebody at the Temple Institute, do you guys need a temple in order to do sacrifices? And the guy said, no. And my son said, well, how long from if you get permission to do animal sacrifices to when you would do them? And he said something to the effect of about 2 hours. And so my son thought that was interesting. So anyway, I was there about a month later, and I asked the same thing. Now, I probably got a different guy because he wasn't really talkative, but I said, and I could kind of tell he didn't want to go against the party line, which is they needed to build a third temple.
Right.
But I also knew that the Sanhedrin said you don't, and so I said, well, do you have to have one? Well, no, he said. And I said, well, what would it take for you guys to then do animal sacrifices? Basically, he said, we just need official government permission, and then probably take us about a week or so, and we can go out and do it. Now, this is before they had a high priest. Now they got a high priest. So they've got this high priest, and they're going to go through and show the process they might go through for animal sacrifices. Now, whether they'll actually do one or not, that part we don't know for sure, but they're making it clear that they're ready to do it. Anyway, getting back to before the break, I quoted three scriptures from the book of Daniel to talk about sacrifices being taken away or stopped. Anyway, for those to be taken away or stopped, they have to first begin. Now, this was not talking about them being gone when the temple was destroyed, because the temple destruction was prophesied to happen in a verse before. So this is afterwards. Okay,
right.
So this definitely comes afterwards. So that means that the sacrifices had to be reimplemented. Now, the reason that should be relevant to people is a lot of people discount Scripture, say you can't believe the Bible, blah, 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 blah. Well, then why are people getting ready to do sacrifices? Oh, because they read about it. Well, that's nice. But God prophesied Yeah, Daniel write down, look, they're going to stop the sacrifices.
Right.
And they haven't started them yet.
Now
we've got people planning for a decade or two, at least. How can we re-implement the sacrifices?
Now, people have to understand the interpretation of ancient text, which is translated from Hebrew and Aramaic, that the abomination that desolates means an abomination, meaning something that's done that God doesn't agree with, which is to start a blood sacrifice when Yeshua, God in the flesh, paid the price. And the desolation is an ancient term meaning you give territory to potential enemies.
Well, in this case, Bill, let me interject something on here because I want to go off on a different part. The reality is, it says the abomination is set up after the sacrifices are stopped. Okay, and I have questions about what that particular abomination is. I've got a few ideas. Okay,
right. You mean you've got? Isn't there a period of time where it starts and stops at so many days? What is it? 26, 12, 16,
12, 12, 12, 12, 12, 12, 12, 12, 12, 12, 12, 12, stops, the abomination is set up. So the abomination isn't the initial daily sacrifices. I realize that once Jesus paid the price, that the sacrifices are no longer needed, but God allowed that to happen for 39 years and 4 months after Jesus was sacrificed.
It still continued for a number of years, right?
Yeah, so they continued, for like 39 years and 4 months.
Right, so in other words, the sacrifice itself is not the abomination, but the abomination set up after the sacrifice is stopped. So it has to be something different then, right?
Right. And this is where I've got a couple of ideas about it. One is there's a prophecy in the New Testament about the king of the north is going to, the beast, he's going to sit in the temple of God showing that he is God. Now, a lot of people look at that and they say, okay, that means you have to have a third Jewish temple. But actually, if you go through the New Testament, you'll see that the Apostle Paul said to the Corinthians, like, you should know that Christians are the temple of God. So this was something that must have been commonly known or would have written it that way. And you can read many scriptures in the New Testament, particularly from the Apostle Paul, about Christians being the temple of God.
Right.
So we don't believe after Jesus was crucified, executed, resurrected, that there's a need for a temple. It's not God's temple
right.
anymore, okay? They're flat out, it's not necessary. And that's why
right.
he allowed it to be destroyed. And he prophesied it would be destroyed after the Messiah came. So that's all
right.
happened. So I've speculated, and I'm going to label this as speculation, I've speculated that it's possible that the beast may actually go to a place such as, one thing comes to mind, the first Christian building that was built in Jerusalem. There is a place that's still there. And when I was in Jerusalem, I went and I found the place, and I found some of the rocks from it. And what's very interesting about this particular location, and for people who think it's got to be the temple, for that scripture to be fulfilled about sitting in the temple of God, consider that the foundation stones and some of the stones of the oldest existing Christian building, or the first one for sure in Jerusalem, perhaps the first one ever, was actually, according to a Roman Catholic scholar who looked at other research, it looks like it was actually built from the ashlars, the big stones, from the original Jewish temple. Okay? Now, I'm not saying that absolutely, that proves that this is the temple that the abomination of desolation will be set up in or whatever. But it's talking about sitting in.
But the abomination, what is the abomination? Is the acceptance of a world leader who claims to be God? Is that the abomination? What is the abomination?
Yeah, that's certainly part of it. He's going to do something. And I've wondered if the location might be the original Christian building. Because Temple of God idea.
Is that the Cenaculum, which is the place where Jesus had the Last Supper?
They claim that's the Last Supper building. But yes, it probably wasn't that actual. That location may not have been that spot. But this is the first Christian church building, and again, it's built, the foundation of it and some of the stones on it are from the Second Temple period. They're actually not just from the period, they're from the actual Second Temple.
So in other words, not every stone was destroyed. Some of those stones were used to build the foundation of this church, which is the place where this person's going to go and claim to be the incarnation of God in the flesh, is what you're saying.
Yes, although again, I'm speculating that this it's going to be that place. But that place does...
And by the way, this has to happen after the sacrifice is cut off. So in other words, the sacrifice starts, I think you even said earlier in the show, the number of days before it's cut off. How many days is that again?
Well, it says from the time the daily sacrifice is taken away, the abomination is set up. There's 1,290 days.
That's interesting. Do you know why that's interesting? Because you look at the 2,520 days, you split it in two, it's exactly 1,260 days. So it turns out if the temple is sanctified by rabbinic law on Sukkot, the sacrifice has to be cut off at the 1,230th day, right? And that, in fact, there's 1,290 days from that day to Yom Teruha, which is the Hebrew for the Feast of Trumpets, which is the end of the 7 years. So there's 1,290 days from Yom Kippur to Yom Teruha, which is the Feast of the Long Blowings or the Feast of Trumpets. So maybe there's something tied in there. What do you think?
Well, there's a lot of things to do with the 1,290 days versus the 1,260 days, and also in Daniel 12 is 1,335 days. But the part I want to mention that I don't want to be misleading is that Daniel 11:31 makes it sound like the abomination will be set up right after the sacrifice is taken away. So there's a couple different types of things I think are going to happen with there. Okay, so the abomination looks like it could be set up right after the sacrifices are stopped. But, again...
Or is it a process that takes time? In other words, is it instantaneous? Is it over a period of 1,290 days that this happened? Because it looks like in the middle of the tribulation, something is going to happen. It's going to change the character of the exposure of this whole process to make it go from being a false period of peace to a piece of great destruction and evil.
A time of great destruction and evil called the Great Tribulation, followed by the greatest day of the Lord was prophesied by Jesus to happen. And we will see the animal sacrifices before that happens. We're getting close to the time where they may...
Wow. So in other words, as the animal sacrifice starts, it lays the groundwork for the abomination that desolates, which is literally, in a sense, Satan on earth, right?
We're getting closer.
Most of you know...
Hi, I'm Dr. Bill Deagle, MD, AAEM, ACAM, A4M, of NutraMedical.com, and a consultant providing email advice free on advanced protocols for your optimized wellness and advanced technologies to heal and regenerate you. You can contact us at NutraMedical.com, that's NutriMedical.com, or 888-212-8871. You get free email starter protocols of our top medical-grade nutraceuticals, initial testing, and recommendations for your own primary doctor to do, as well as recommendations to give you an idea of a consultation and a full protocol to try to help you regenerate your tissues, heal naturally without the use of toxic polypharmacy. I can send test kits to you as well anywhere in the world and provide you recommendations to referral of specialty clinics worldwide. So contact me, Dr. Bill Deagle, at NutriMedical.com. That's NutriMedical.com or 888-212-8871.
Surprise, what you told so far, and we kind of crystallized a little bit on the break, that when the sacrifice starts right at the beginning of the tribulation, which is Sukkot, by rabbinic law, or slightly before, it's going to break in the middle of the tribulation. The Great Tribulation is the last half of that 7 years, isn't it?
Protestants tend to like to call the seven-year period the tribulation, but they say the first half isn't really a bad tribulation. So I don't know if the word tribulation I would apply to it for the 7 years.
I'd call it the covenant with death, which is interesting. If you look at the academics have think that the birth date of Yeshua is exactly 6 months opposite the birth date of John the Baptist, which was born on Pesach, Passover, would place the birth date of Jesus in the fall and Sukkot. And it turns out I've heard other academics say they think the birth date of Adam was in the same date, Sukkot, if you actually look back in ancient times. And then it turns out by rabbinic law that the temple is supposed to be sanctified on Sukkot. That's what the rabbis say in the Sanhedrin. So there's something there, and of course in the middle, which means that last half, Christians are going to know this is coming because they can see the signs. They're going to escape before the Great Tribulation starts in the middle of the seven-year period, right?
Yeah, pretty much. Let me back a couple of things. First, the Jews think that it might be the first day of the seventh month, which they call Rosh Hashanah or the Feast of Trumpets. They think that could have been when Adam and Eve were created. And So that could be a time. As far as when Jesus was born, we accept that he was probably born in the seventh month of the Hebrew calendar, which starts most years in September.
Right.
Runs into October. We don't know precisely because the scripture doesn't say. We think if we were supposed to know precisely, the scripture would say.
Yeah, what I've heard from other academics is that they've stated it's exactly six Hebrew months difference, which puts us on Sukkot or the fall feast there.
Right,
so
it's in that time period. I just don't know the exact day. Now, the other thing, as far as days and fleeing and all this kind of stuff, if you read, and you and I talked about this in the break, so I'll just tell people what one of the things we were discussing. If you read Revelation chapter 12, you see that Satan comes down the earth, and he's going to begin a tribulation prior to the start of the Great Tribulation. He's going to start to persecute Christians, particularly Philadelphian Christians. Now, Satan isn't particular. If there are Laodicean Christians and other Christians around, he doesn't mind getting rid of them too. Don't get me wrong. But if you look at this, you'll find in Revelation chapter 12, starting around verse 14, that the church flees. Now, these are Philadelphian Christians, and I'll get back to that in just a moment. I know I don't have a lot of time in this segment, but we'll see what I can get in here.
Right.
Anyway, they're going to go to the wilderness, which is prepared for the woman, it says, for a time, and half a time, which equates to 1,260 days that you were talking about in the previous segment.
Right, the time, half a time puts it in the middle of the seven-year period, right?
Yeah, it was a second.
So in other words, there's a period of protection of the woman, which is the church. During the Great Tribulation, the woman is protected from the Great Tribulation because the unbelieving world will be exposed to it. But the church will be protected for...
But it's not just the unbelieving world that's exposed to it, and that's the part I wanted to make about it.
Right.
If you go into Revelation chapter 3, you read to the Church of Philadelphia, Jesus says, basically, because you kept my word, you haven't denied my name, you've done what you're supposed to do, basically, I'm going to keep you from the hour of trial that's going to come upon the world to try the whole world. And that's Revelation 3, verses 7 through 12.
Okay. Right.
Now, if you go into Revelation chapter 12, you see verse 17 that there's a second group. Okay, the rest of the Christians, okay, all the Christians do not get protected. Now, I've heard certain Protestant prophetic interpreters come up with some stuff on this, but the reality is these are all Christians, and these are not just newly converted Christians who just became converted the day the Great Tribulation started. Okay, that doesn't make any sense. So Satan is mad at the woman and goes to make war with the remnant of her seed. And who are these people? They're Christians. How do we know they're Christians? It says because they have the testimony of Jesus Christ, and they keep the commandments of God.
Right.
Those are Christians. And if you go into Revelation 14, verse 12, it says these are the saints, are those who talk about the patience of the saints. These are the ones who have the testimony of Jesus Christ and who also keep God's commandments. Well, anyway, so that's telling us just being a Christian, because it's been very important to be a Christian, but just being a Christian doesn't guarantee that you will not be subject to the Great Tribulation. Only the Philadelphian Christians are protected. And if you read the book of Daniel, you find that the saints are given into his hand, the beast's hand, for a time, and half a time. This is also the same 3.5 years, 1,260 days that we were talking about before. So there's a lot that kind of ties in with these sacrifices. And again, I realize they haven't started yet, but on Monday, the Sanhedrin is intending to at least do a mock ceremony to do some kind of a grain offering, to possibly do some stuff with wine libations, possibly burn or some kind of meat, whether they kill an animal or not, I don't know. But the reality is they're showing the world, look, we are ready for this. We intend to do this. And a lot of people discount scripture. Ah, you can't rely on the Bible. And it's like, well, guess what? It's been almost 2,000 years since the Jews did sacrifices, and they're getting as close as they've come. Now, I will also say that it's not that they never do any sacrifice. Around Passover, it seems like somehow somebody gets some permission, whether they get permission or not, somebody sacrifices a lamb. They did one this last Passover, by the way. So I don't know if they're going to do that, something like that this time or not. But the reality is there are religious Jews who, they don't accept Jesus. They read the Old Testament, the Hebrew Scriptures. It tells them they're supposed to have sacrifices. It tells them that they need to do sacrifices without an altar, with an altar, but without a temple. They've got an altar. They want to use this altar. They want to show the world that this is what they want to do. And I think they're also sending a message to the Israeli politicians. Years ago, actually a couple times, Israeli courts have repeatedly concluded that the Jews have the right to do animal sacrifices. However, they've said because the political climate is not such, then they can't do them. Now, what's interesting about this, and I'm going to tie this into our current president, people realize that Donald Trump decided to move the U.S. Embassy from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem.
Right.
About a year ago, actually, made the announcement. Now, prior to that, he did what every other president did. Every 6 months, the President of the United States actually, for the last 15, 20 years, I forgot exactly when this bill became law, has to either move Jerusalem, the embassy of Jerusalem, or say it's not politically appropriate to do it now, it's too dangerous or something. Well, Trump did that the first time. Somebody persuaded him, okay, we can't do it now. So Trump said, okay, fine, so he didn't do it. But then he decided, I ain't signing this thing anymore. Okay, we're going to do it. So he made his announcement. And so something that people thought would never happen, the U.S. move its embassy to Jerusalem, happened. And over in Israel, something people think will never happen, that they'll get permission to do regular animal sacrifices, is going to happen too. Now, I believe it will be mainly for political reasons. I think there are, I know the type of system, political system they have over in Israel with multiple political parties. And there's a few people from these political parties who want animal sacrifices. And they're a minority. I'll admit, they're a minority. But for people in the United States who don't realize how a parliamentary system works, it's not like the United States where you've got Republicans and Democrats. Okay, let's say they have their version of Republicans and Democrats, but none of them are majority. They got one might be a third, one might be 25%, another group might be 20%, another group might be 5 or 10%, another group 4 or 5%. Well, they need to get enough parties together to form what's called a coalition to get a prime minister and all that kind of stuff. And there's a few of these temple-type sacrifice people who are in their parliament that basically are in a political party, and that's what they want. And I see someday, one time, they're going to persuade somebody to go their direction and will allow them to get the animal sacrifices in place. Now, I also suspect, and this is consistent with Scripture, it'll be probably after the peace deal of Daniel 9, 26-27 happens.
And by the way, the peace deal is being finalized by none other than Jared Kushner, the son-in-law of Donald J. Trump. And he's not only did he receive a special, the highest trophy award from Mexico with USMC Treaty, which is Zone 3 of the World Trade Center, Council on Foreign Relations, Fall 1973, for the 10 kings who give their power to the beast for 1 hour, that he's, without Jared Kushner, there would be no peace treaty in the Middle East between Saudi Arabia, the Arab Emirates, etc., Jordan, and Israel.
Well, we'll see if that becomes the basis of what's going to end up happening. Because I don't think, there's going to be some changes at first.
Oh, I'm sure it will be. It's not the final thing, but you can tell things are in the works.
Oh, absolutely. Things are in the works. From the Europeans there, too.
Yeah, Europe is in there. Everybody's got a stake in this situation now. And it's even more polarized now with the Russian capturing three Ukrainian ships near the bridge they built between Russia and Crimea. This is getting closer and closer to the culmination, isn't it?
More and more events are happening in the world.
Yeah, and the song they sing in Masada, when they give their wings to the Israeli pirates, is the Vilna Gaon, when Rushes crosses from the Bosphorus to the Mediterranean, put it near Shabbat or Sabbath clothes, for a Messiah HaMashiach is coming. It goes back to Ezekiel 37:38, 2,700 years ago, believe it or not, to Ezekiel.
That's
amazing.
Mito that can improve your focus, your memory, your sleep, a catalyst to improve your brain chemistry. Dr. Bill's Cognition Plus is truly the smarter in an hour pill. A combination of amino acids, trace minerals, and B vitamins, Cognition Plus is made with specialized herbal extracts that will enhance and support brain function. Our customers say,
I feel more focused.
My memory's getting better.
I can work longer with more useful hours.
Power up your neurotransmitters that have been depleted, like dopamine and norepinephrine. Stimulate the release of others, like serotonin and oxytocin. Improve circulation and energy production. Protect your mind and your loved ones today. Order Dr. Bill Deagle's Cognition Plus at 888-212-8871 or go online to NutriMedical.com. That's 888-212-8871 or NutriMedical.com.
and listen to the NutriMedical Report on the Genesis Radio Network with open lines every weekday. NutriMedical.com, bringing nutrition and medicine together.